We want to have more times like this for our young people. Even Brother Zach was saying yesterday, that's good. We used to do this in the early days, and it really brought many young people into a relationship with the Lord. That's what has been the theme of our camp, restored relationships. And I want you to see that for a relationship, you have it up there, so you have a personal encounter for a personal relationship. That is what is necessary. It doesn't come just coming, attending camps, attending meetings, reading the Bible, having your quiet time. I want to say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, what we all need, not just one time, but continuously in a personal encounter for a personal relationship. You can study the Bible all you want, and you can come as to many camps as you want to, but it's a personal encounter that you need to have. And I hope that for some of you at least, this camp has been a time when you have a restored relationship. I hope for some it will be a personal relationship, the beginning of a personal relationship, because you've had a personal encounter with Jesus. And for the rest of us, I hope that we would be led into a higher dimension of life and relationship with Christ. So I want you to look at something. I don't know if any of you have seen it anywhere. Read it out, because I can't see it. Now, apart from those who I did tell, how many of you have seen that sign? And where? Yeah, Moses, that's right. You're very observant. Particularly at unmanned railway crossings, you have this sign there with a locomotive picture. Stop, look, listen. And those who ignore that, vehicles and pedestrians, sometimes it's been fatal. I understand that the number of accidents at unmanned level crossings on the Indian railways is much more than the accidents we have on the roads. Because people ignore that, to stop, to look and to listen. Now, I've known of many cases. I've known of one case of a person that we knew crossing the Cockstown railway crossing who didn't obey that, to stop, look and listen. But thankfully, the locomotive, she got knocked down, but the locomotive pushed her off the track and she landed in the gutter at the side. And just a couple of bruises, her life was saved. But others have not been so fortunate. We ignore these signs. You know, those of us who drive vehicles, and you come to a traffic light that's red, what should we do? Stop. But in Bangalore, we see many, especially young people, just shoot past the traffic light, and sometimes that causes accidents. Now I want to speak this evening about the stops that we have in our lives. There are many stops in our lives. There were many stops in my life. I shared some of it last night with some of you brothers. And the first stop that brought me to repentance and the forgiveness of sins and brought me into a personal encounter with Christ, which happened nearly 46 years ago, and many, many other stops along the way. And many of you I've already had these stops. You have these stops at the end of school. You have to join a college. And at the end of college, you have to think of what you're going to do, whether you're going to go for further studies or you're going to look for a career. In your work situation, if you're working, there are stops there. You want to change your job. And many issues there where it determines whether you've got to remain there or move on. When you're relocating, that's another stop. Should I move or should I not move? And when considering a life partner, that's an important decision. That's a major stop. It's a stop to look and to listen. But the most important stop I want you to see is when we come to the crossroads of life and we have a choice to make whether to live your life with God or without God. You have a choice whether to move towards God or move away from God. This is the choice the prodigal, we have heard so much yesterday from Brother Zach. This is the choice the prodigal had in the far country. The choice he made when he left home, it says after many days, after his father divided the inheritance, he left home, he took everything, he went into a far country. Ignore the stop there. But God is so merciful. God waits a long time. He has a long rope. So he let him go, like we heard. And as long as he had money, he had friends. And that's how it is today. You young people, you young men. As long as you have money, you have many friends. You're popular. When the money runs out, your friends also run out. And that's how it was with the prodigal son. And you know what we heard yesterday, when there was a famine in the land, his money ran out, his friends left him, and it says no one gave him anything. No one gave him anything. And he went and hired himself to a citizen there to feed the pigs. And I think that he was probably on daily wages, but the wages would be paid at the end of the week. But he had no food. He had no money to buy food. He wanted to eat, like we heard, what the pigs ate. And then it says he came to his senses. He came to himself. That's the literal word there. And then he said, What am I doing here, dying of hunger when my father has enough food there to feed his servants? And you know the story, the rest of the story. So I want you to see that there are choices we have to make when we come to this stop sign, stop to listen, to look and to listen. We ignore it at our peril. And God brings us to this place many times in our life. I think of a true life incident of a nephew of mine. Not so many years ago, a young man, about 21 years, and he came to this place at least 4 times. And every time it was a road accident. And I would get a call at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning from my brother saying, so-and-so has met with an accident, can you come? And I think 3 times at least I received this call, and 3 times went, once to Apollomalia and once to some other hospital. And I remember the 4th time when he was found unconscious, taken to the CSI hospital. 3rd time. Then he came home to get me to help to release his motorcycle, because I knew the sub-inspector. And then I said to him as he sat there, I said, Andrew, God has been very merciful to you. I said, 3 times you have escaped death. You may not be fortunate the fourth time, the next time. It was not long after that, I got his motorcycle released and his parents stopped letting him ride the motorcycle for some time. Then one day, a friend of his pleaded that they wanted to go for some birthday party and got his motorcycle released from his parents. And coming back one morning at 6 o'clock by the Victoria Hospital flyover, and that time it was not open, he crashed into a barrier and he flew over the flyover, landed on his head and broke his neck and died instantly. I'll never forget that when I got that call that morning at 6:30 and said, and my brother said that Andrew's met with an accident and he's no more. And I went to the hospital and I saw, and it was a terrible sight. As he lay in the morgue there with a broken neck. He had many opportunities. I don't know if he made peace with God, if he... I don't think he had any chance because he died instantly. There's a saying, it says, don't wait to repent at midnight. You may die at 11:30. Don't wait to repent at midnight. You may die at 11:30. That's what happened to this young man. We ignore the warnings that God gives us, my dear brothers and sisters. Those of you who have never come into a personal relationship with Christ, and speaking primarily to you, whenever you see this or think of this, stop, look, listen. And I hope that this camp has been a time when you've done that. God has been speaking to us. God spoke so powerfully to us yesterday, and that you come to this place where you stop, you look at the future, and you listen to what God is saying. I want you to turn to a passage in Scripture in Luke chapter 19. Here's a young man who stopped. Luke chapter 19. It says, Jesus, verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. It's so interesting to see how God ordains circumstances. Sometimes we heard earlier, for one woman, Jesus walked 50 miles just for one woman. And here he was passing through Jericho, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Maybe like today, the commissioner of income tax. Big job, a lot of money, especially in India. And Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your home. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped. I like those words. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possession I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus stopped. When he had a personal encounter with Jesus, he stopped. And we have to stop when we meet Jesus. Whether it's in a camp or in the church, in a time like this, I hope that we have stopped and we look and we listen. And Zacchaeus decided that he wanted to put things right. And it says there that he says, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. I want you to think about that. Zacchaeus was a shrewd tax collector. You know, if you're a shrewd businessman, and he was that, he would have thought, he could have said to Jesus, I'll give back four times. Now think of it, suppose he had 1 crore, 100 lakhs of rupees, and he said to Jesus, I'll give four times back to all those people I defrauded. So supposing he owed 50 lakhs, and he had the remaining 50 lakhs, and he said to Jesus, half of that I'll give to the poor. But when salvation comes, when you have a personal encounter with Jesus, you're not calculative. And you see that Zacchaeus was not calculative. And what did he say? He said, Lord, half of my goods I will give to the poor. Half of what I have, 50 lakhs. And out of the remaining 50, whoever, if I owe 10 lakhs, I'll give back 10 lakhs. And he has 40. You do the mathematics, may not have put it to you correctly, but you see that he was not interested in being calculative and thinking of his profit and how much he could gain. He had a personal encounter with Jesus because he stopped. And he wanted to put things right. And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Today, not tomorrow. You say, but you know, did he repent? When you have a personal encounter with Jesus, doesn't matter the words. The words may not be right. But you have a personal encounter with Jesus, and you say, Lord, I just want to put things right. I messed up my life. I want to put things right. I want to go different. I want to go a different way from now on. Jesus never asked him to sell everything he had like he did to that rich young ruler. And Zacchaeus had already decided, before he climbed up that tree, he wanted to see Jesus. He heard about him. Yeah, I want to see this man. I've heard about him. I heard he is the Son of God. And he already decided when he went up to that tree, that if I see Jesus, if I meet him, if I just see him, and if I can only meet him, I'm going to put things right in my life. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to stop defrauding people. I mean business. That's what Zacchaeus decided. He stopped. And he decided that he would stop cheating. He decided that he would give back to others what... He didn't say, I repent, I'll ask God's forgiveness. He put things right. And repentance is not just saying sorry, that you put things right. If you hurt somebody, you go to that person and say, I'm sorry, I apologize, please. If you cheated somebody, you go back and give back what you've taken wrongly from him. That is repentance. Not just saying, sorry, please forgive me. And that's what I want to see in Zacchaeus. That salvation came to him. He decided that he had enough of this. He was going to stop living it up. He was going to stop partying with his friends who were with him only because he had lots of money. And I want you to see one good thing about this man, Zacchaeus. He was not a hypocrite. And that's one thing I appreciate in young people, when they're not hypocrites. He was himself. He was not like the Pharisees around him. He did not pretend. He refused to conform. He went to the synagogue perhaps, but he was not going to conform and fit in. He was himself. But when he came, when he met Jesus, we had a personal encounter with Jesus, he decided it's enough. I've had enough of this kind of life. He stopped. I want to ask every one of us here, have you come to that place where you've stopped and taken stock of your life and decided, enough, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm not going to live for the world. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to fit into God's plan for my life. I want you to look at a word in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. Here's a word that all young people, all of us, can take heed to. It says there, the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. Now, this is the Holy Spirit writing through Peter. The time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. To all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, those who died in Noah's time. So though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. I want to read that to you from the Message Bible. Listen to it. It says, you've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate life. Profligate means a wasteful life, you know, no morals. Now it's time to be done with it for good. This is the Holy Spirit speaking. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore. But you don't have to give an account to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God Himself. And verse 7 it says, everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted, stay wide awake in prayer. That's the Message Bible. Time is sufficient. And if after this camp and if after what you've heard, you go back and say, no, I've not had enough. I need to have some more. I need to feed my lust more. I need to enjoy myself more. I need to go along with my friends more. I've not had enough. I'll think about it. Maybe when I read Brother Zach's age and Brother Ian's age, or maybe Robbie or Selvan's age. I'm still young. I want to make the best of it. I want to live life. You don't know, like I said to you about this young man, who was a nephew of mine. He didn't know that he ignored the sign to his own peril. And I remember very clearly he sat in my drawing room and I said to him, Andrew, you may not be fortunate the next time. I didn't know. I didn't wish for anything bad to happen to him. But I think of that with great grief. He's the only son of his parents, because he ignored God's warnings. Because the times when he came into an encounter with Christ, he chose the other way. We do that to our peril, my brothers and sisters. Not just when we come to repentance and faith, but in different choices that you and I have to make in our lives. Different choices, like I was saying, there are many stop signs. The first stop sign is when we come to Christ. We have a personal encounter with Him. There are many stop signs. I shared with you last night the stop signs in my life. And I thank God with all of my heart that God helped me to make the right choice, to choose the right way, even though sometimes it was costly. So, we come to the sign, when we come to the narrow gate that the Bible speaks about, what we heard about, the narrow gate and the narrow way. The sign is there, stop, look and listen. And the wide gate and the broad way in Matthew chapter 7, what we heard yesterday. Enter through the narrow gate, verse 13 and 14. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. There are many who enter through it, not few, not some, many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I want you to take that to heart. Those are the words of Jesus. And so when we come to these two ways, that we can stop and look and listen. There's a way which is, there's a gate that is narrow, and there's a way that is narrow and difficult perhaps, but it leads to life. But there's a way that's broad. There's a gate that is wide and a way that's broad that leads to destruction. We are right there. We are told where these two ways go. Jesus tells us, these are the two ways, and this is what you and I come to at some time, every man and every woman come to in their lives. They come to this intersection. And you ignore this to your peril. You ignore this. It can cost you not just physical death, like I told you. It can be spiritual death. For all eternity, you're lost because you ignore this sign to stop, to look, and to listen. But I want you to see that Zacchaeus really humbled himself. He said, enough, I've had enough of this. And he stopped. And he made the right choice. He could continue to become richer. He earned more than he needed. Why did he need more money? And that's how it is today. Young people are not satisfied. They want more and more. There's no sin in choosing a job where you get a better pay, a better salary, a better wage packet. But if that's your ambition and you don't care about anything else, and that's the rat race today. That's the spirit of the times we live in. Everybody is climbing over the other bank. In your work spot, some of you work in companies. People are jealous if you're doing well. And they try to put you down. And they try to climb over your back. It's a rat race. Don't join that rat race. Live for God. Make a wise choice. Zacchaeus decided enough. He said, the time already is sufficient for me to have made enough money. I don't want it. I'm going to give it half away to the poor. And the rest, I'm going to put things right. I'm going to repay four times to those I've defrauded and cheated. Salvation, Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. And that word means deliverance. The word salvation means complete deliverance. Not just for that present moment, but for the future. And Jesus said that he had come to seek and to save. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if Zacchaeus had missed that opportunity, I don't know what would have happened. But I believe that Zacchaeus became a disciple. He got more than what money could buy. He got salvation. Not only for this life, but for all eternity. He was willing to pay the price, my brothers and sisters. And that's when we come to that place, we must be willing to pay the price. And I know the many stops in my life. You know, there's a little plaque that I think Salom is going to give all of us. Lord, it's something I shared long back. And Brother Bartholomew has put it on a little plaque. And, you know, I said, we must be honest. I can't say to God, Lord, I'm willing. But I can pray a very honest prayer. Lord, help me to be willing to be willing. That's an honest prayer. Make me willing to be willing. That's what it is. Lord, make me willing to be willing. Make me willing to be willing to pay the price, to choose the right way. You pray that prayer, God will definitely hear it. I know He's heard it many times in my life. A willingness to pay the price. And I tell you, you get much more than this world can give you. You get much more than you think you're having the great time with your friends and the kind of life that you're living, my dear brothers and sisters. Think of this other man. He also was rich. Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was another man, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. We heard about him. And it says there that he also came. And he came with a good question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's a young man. He was sincere. What shall I do, he asked Jesus, to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know the commandments. You shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not lie. And he says, all these things I've kept from my youth up. And it says, Jesus looked at him, he loved him. But he said, with something that he didn't say to Zacchaeus, he said to this rich young ruler, one thing you lack. Sell all that you have and come and follow me. But it says, you know the story, says that he went away sad. His face fell. He thought perhaps Jesus will give him a few more commandments. Honor your father and mother. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Love God with all your heart. But one thing you like, sell all that you have. Jesus never spoke about the other commandments he left out. All that is hinged in this one thing you like. He couldn't love God with all your heart. He loved his money. He couldn't honor his father and mother. He loved his money. And he went away sad. He had a choice, like Zacchaeus, and he did not want to make that choice. He did not want to give up what was that one thing that he needed to give up, and that was he clung to his possessions, to his wealth, to his position. Maybe he was very popular, he had a lot of money, a lot of friends. Jesus was one thing you like. And he went away sad. And many like that, many who come to camps, many who come to the church, when they hear that, when God speaks through the prophetic word in the church, they think it's too much. No, I still need some more time. Time is not sufficient. You know, when you say that, my dear young brothers and sisters, that when you say that, you're saying, it's not sufficient. I've not had enough. I need some more. I need to feed my lusts more. I need to have a good time. I need to party and do, you know, realize all my ambitions, and then I will repent, and then I'll come to God. But it may be too late. When you come to Jesus, you have to make a choice. Either you move towards Him or you move away from Him. Like I said, the narrow way and the broad way. When you come there, you either move towards God or you move away from God. There are no two, there's no middle path. That you have a little bit of, that's what some people want. They want to have a little bit of God in their life. There are no two. You either move towards God or you move away from Him. You either have a personal encounter with God or you go away from Him. That's the choice. And that's what I want you to see. The other example that we have been talking about, the prodigal son, he stopped. When did he stop? When he came to himself. You know that word there, he came to his senses, literally means he came to himself. Think of it. So what do we gather from there? He did not want to be himself. He wanted to be what his peers were. He wanted to give in to the peer pressure. He wanted to compete. If so-and-so can be like that, if he has a motorcycle, I'll get a better one. If he has a jazzy car, I'll get a better one than that. If he's got a six-figure salary, I'll get a better salary. And you compete for that. He came to himself. And I want to say to you, take this to heart, what we can learn from the prodigal son, that when he came to his senses, he came to himself. The day he told his father, give me my share of the inheritance, and the day he made up his mind to leave home, was the day he decided not to be himself. He wanted to be somebody else. So he went to the far country. And so you may have ambitions. You want to be somebody else. You don't want to be yourself. You're not happy where God has put you. You're not happy in your home. Many young people, they're not happy to be under the authority of their parents. The time comes, of course, when you have to go out on your own. That's different. But in the time that God keeps you in your home, brothers and sisters, that you learn to honor your parents, you learn to be under their authority. If God puts you in a church, that you learn to be under authority, that you don't do your own thing and just come to the meetings because your parents want you to come to the meetings. You read your Bible because your parents tell you got to read the Bible. I know that's how it was in my home. And that's why I took a detest, like I was saying last night, to religion. I hated religion. Because I was forced to do certain things. Forced to go to Sunday school. Forced to go along to church. And then I went the wrong way, chose religion, and thought that was the way, and I became religious, but my life didn't change. I became worse than when I had no religion. That's what we see too, that some young people become worse when they get a little bit of religion in their lives. It's better to be without religion. Better to be an atheist, an agnostic. But I know when I became religious, and I was deeply religious, I led a debased life. And go and confess my sins, to the priest and come back and live that week for myself and do what I liked. And I got so sick and tired of religion that when religion didn't help me when I went through a crisis, I thought I had enough of it. I tried to take my life. And I was just 25 years old then. I ignored the stop sign. God did try to stop me. But I thought, if God let me do what I had done that day, something foolish, I would have been in a Christless eternity. I would not be here this evening. I'll never forget the words of the doctor after they had given me a stomach wash. And he said to me, he was a believer in Christ. And he said to me, Ian, God has given you a second life. Don't throw it away. It didn't really help me much. After that, I stopped believing, stopped having religion in my life. I didn't stop believing God. But I didn't want to have anything to do with religion. For 2 years, I just went on that way. But there was an emptiness. I wanted to climb the ladder. I wanted to become something. And like I was saying last night to some of you, God let me go. He gave me my desires. I wanted to drive this train. I wanted to drive that train. And then wanted to become an officer. God let me go. But I couldn't get away from that emptiness. There was an emptiness that I couldn't explain. And like I said last night, it was a backslidden brother in Christ who once told me, why don't you go for that meeting in the next city? I think you can get some help there. That was the first stop sign. I'm glad I didn't ignore that. I went, and that night I really had a personal encounter with Christ. I repented of my sins like I never repented before. Nobody spoke to me, nobody said anything. I never knew about being born again, about having about living a new life. I heard these things in school, never believed it. But I went to a Christian school. But as I sat there, I said, Lord, is it possible that I can begin my life all over again? And I wept and I prayed to God with all my heart that I would be forgiven all my sins because I had messed up to that moment. And the message that night was that, and what I understood, that if I was the only person living on the earth, Christ, God would still send Christ to die for me. That's what broke my heart. It was no more God so loved the world. It was God loved Ian. That's how it put your name there. And now what we were hearing yesterday, it's not God loved the world. It will be very abstract. Put your name there. God so loved. Put your name. That He gave His only begotten Son, that Ian who believes in Him should not perish, but Ian should have everlasting life. That was the message. It was on the cross and what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. And I turned that. I had a personal encounter with Christ. I didn't have any strange experience, but there was a peace that came into my heart. There was something happened. I felt clean. And I surrendered my life to Christ. I know there was a counselor who prayed for me. I still remember his name. I thank God for him. He never let go of me. He used to come after me. I was still working on the railways. And he helped me, prayed with me and saw me through. And it's never been no looking back. Not that I've not made mistakes, I've not done foolish things. But every time I've gone the right way. Every time when I've come to the intersection, whatever it is, when I had to make a choice, I decided to stop, to look, and to listen. To listen to what God was saying to me. And that's what I want you to see, that prodigal son. I want you to see the whole story of that when he came to himself. When you're willing to come to yourself, not try to be somebody else or someone else. Even in the church, be yourself. I've said to young people, Many of you, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't pretend. Just be yourself. Be normal. Oh, for a church of normal people. Some people who try to be like this one, like that one. There are brothers in the church who preached in the past, and I said, don't try to be like Brother Zach, you'll destroy yourself. I'm glad they took the correction today. The grace of God is upon their lives, and they are blessing others. So that's what I wanted to see about the prodigal son. He came to himself. That's what happened to me the night when I came to myself, and I turned to Christ. He was not willing to be under the Father's authority. And we heard yesterday, give me my portion of the inheritance. He wanted to live it up. He wanted to do what he liked. But he came to a place where he came to himself. And I believe that his elder brother made life miserable for him in the home, because he was a legalist. We don't have time to look at it, but we look at it. His elder brother was a legalist, a thorough Pharisee, and he surely made life miserable for him. That he must have thought, let's get rid of this guy. I've got my share now, I'm going to have a good time. This elder brother was constantly preaching to him, constantly telling him. He got so sick and tired. Sadly, sometimes there are people like that in the church. I've said to sisters, wives, don't preach at your husband. Just live your life. Believe 1 Peter 3:1. You'll win him without a word. And I believe, like I said in the beginning, it's not preaching, my brothers and sisters. Even listening to me right now, what you need is a personal encounter for a personal relationship. There's no other way that you must be willing to come to that place. Leave the Pharisees alone. You come to Jesus. And I want to see that, you know, it says there in the story of Zacchaeus, he looked up. Can you imagine that Jesus was passing through Jericho for this one man? The Spirit had told him, God the Father had said, there's one man here I want you to meet, and I want you to go and have tea with him or dinner with him, whatever it was. And so when he went through, he was looking for that one man. And then the Holy Spirit said, stop, look up. And he stopped and looked up, and there he saw Zacchaeus. He said, come down quickly. I'm going to come to your home. And you know what happened. Zacchaeus had a personal encounter, changed the whole direction of his life. That's what will happen, my dear brothers and sisters, to you. That's what happened to me. Changed the direction of my life. My friends thought I'd gone mad. They thought that I needed psychiatric treatment, because I was not the guy that they knew about. I lost my popularity. My friends went out of my life. But God gave me a set of friends who enriched my life. A set of good, wonderful brothers. Not here in Bangalore, that was in Hyderabad, Secunderabad. And I thank God for those years that I spent there. And I thank God we didn't hear the things that we are hearing today. We didn't have somebody like Brother Zach there. But we had the Word of God. But I really thank God that I made that choice. And I've never been sorry for it. And I see how it has gone in my life. It's 46 years now, and I see how God has blessed and helped me to know Him. Leave aside all the other things, material benefits and financially and all that, and all the struggles we went through. I left my job on the railways when God called me, and I know that He did call me. I left my job to serve Him. I didn't know what I was going to do, but God had already given me a word. And I was offered 200 rupees. I was getting a salary of a couple of thousands. I gave the key to my friend from the headquarters I came from. I said, sell everything, and whatever you get, give me the money. I had a full furnished house. I had plans for myself and my future. But I gave him the key. I said, just sell everything. And he sold it for a pittance. I didn't mind. I left my job with just 1,000 rupees provident fund. 200 rupees was what I got. I used to have for breakfast just a kachori. That's all I could afford. But I look back on those days, and they were the most blessed days of my life, because I had a personal encounter with God through Jesus. And nothing was going to change that. And God led me on from there. And I had a burden to serve and serve the Lord and work with young people. And God opened the door there. Many, many things have happened. I don't have time to relate all that. But what I'm saying is, I'm so glad that when I saw this sign, stop, listen, look, I never ignored it. And it has always led me higher. It has led me into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And I desire that for all of you, my brothers and sisters. I want to say to some of you, don't be like the elder brother. He was a legalist to the core. You can see that there. And he was angry when his brother came back. He couldn't bear the idea of his father taking this brother of his back, who had gone and so quick to judge him. How did he know that he wasted his father's money on prostitutes? How did he know that? Because that's all the time, he must have thought, no, I could be having a good time myself. And he was angry. He said, wouldn't go in. He had a grouse against his father. He said, I've served you all these years and you never gave me a calf to go and make merry with my friends. And here this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours has come back. And you receive him back and you throw a feast and you have your celebration for him. And I like what the father said there. Son, you've always been with me. And all that is mine is yours. That's something that he missed. And I want to say to some of us who do know the Lord, that is something we miss when we become legalists. When we keep an account. I've served you. I serve the church. I make sacrifices. And we don't realize that we have such a wonderful Father that we heard about yesterday. Who wants to give us His bounty, wants to give us everything. His arms are wide open. All that I have, all that is mine is yours. That is our inheritance through Jesus. And I hope that none of us will be like the elder brother. I'm speaking to those of us who have a relationship with Christ, that we will help those who do not, have not come into that personal encounter, that we will help them through love, just like that father welcomed this son back. I want you to see that. If you turn to Luke 15, I just want you to look at that. It's possible that we could miss that. Look, Luke 15. You know, it says there that he got up and came to his father. I want you to listen to this, verse 20. But while he was still a long way off. Listen to this. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. You know, just think of this story. What was it that made him come back to his father? What was it that made him come back to his father? Come. No food. He was hungry. Hunger was what made him, you know, prepare that confession. He prepared a confession. I'll go back. What am I doing here, dying of hunger? I'll go back to my father. He's got plenty of food. Enough for servants. And here I am, stupid, that I am dying of hunger. He came to himself. He came to a place. This is me now. This is me. I'm not going to, enough of this kind of life. I'm going back. He prepared a confession. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Please let me be one of your hired sons. When did he come to repentance? Looking at this, have you thought of it? When do you think he really came to repentance? Because you can read this story and you can think that some crisis, some situation drives you to God. And he said, then where's repentance? Where did he repent of his sins? When do you think he came to repentance? Anyone? I tell you, when he saw that old man afar off, running, like Keith and Suresh sang, when God ran. When he saw that elderly father of his, whom he left brokenhearted, running towards him. Read it there. It says that when he is still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. That's what brought him to repentance. It breaks my heart. That's the heart of God. He comes looking for us. Not that you and I went looking for. I didn't go looking for him. I want to say I didn't go looking for him. I just went because somebody said maybe you can get help there. And I didn't go looking for God. He came looking for me and he found me that night. Just like this prodigal son, he came, he ran towards me. And I tell you, I never felt in all my life before that. I come from a broken home. There were so many things that happened. I never tasted the love of God like I tasted that night and from that night onwards. And I believe that this is what brought the prodigal son to repentance. And so that confession that he had prepared came from his heart. He said, and the son said to the father, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven. It's no longer a prepared confession. He saw the heart of his father. This father who ran to him, felt compassion for him, embraced him, kissed him. You know, no, why did you think, why did you do this? What? Look at the state of you. What have you done with all my money? What kind of life have you been living? How many women have you been sleeping with? None of that. He embraced him. Ran, embraced him and kissed him. I think that broke that boy's heart. That broke that young man's heart. That he came to the place, he said, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That was enough for the father. This man, this young man was a broken man. And he didn't even want to hear the rest. He didn't want to hear the rest of the confession. He knew that it came from his heart. He's a broken man now. He came to himself. He said, bring the best robe. Put it on, put a ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. And I like that there. It says there, you look at it. It has always blessed my heart when I read it. That's how it is with in heaven. When one sinner repents, Jesus said, there's joy in the presence of the angels of heaven over one sinner who repents. And it says there in verse 24, when he said, this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. And it was not just one night of celebration. The elder son, I don't know what happened to him, but he changed his mind, came in. I like to think of, really, you know, you can think of the story. Make a story as to what happened to the elder son. But I could think that they celebrated. It says there, you know, with music and dancing in verse 25. That's how God receives us, my brothers and sisters. Oh, that we can see the love of God. That He runs towards us. Jesus came for Zacchaeus. He looked up. He went for that Syrophoenician woman just for her. For that woman of Samaria at the well, he went through Samaria just for her. I want you to see this, that God ordains the circumstances just for you and for me, so that we have a personal encounter with Him, that we come to know Him more and more. And lastly, I want you to see that, you know, in Luke chapter 18, another man. And Jesus was in the same city of Jericho. Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43. It says, as Jesus was approaching Jericho, there he was passing through Jericho. Here he is approaching Jericho, and a blind man was sitting by the road, begging. And now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. I like that. Jesus stopped. No cry will go past his ears. Whether it's a loud cry or just a whisper or even a sigh. He saw the sighing and the groans of his people in Egypt. And it says there, it went up to his ears, went up to God's ears. He saw what his people were going through. He heard their sighs and their groans. He will never ignore a cry for mercy. My dear brothers and sisters, whatever it is, however, how many times you've fallen, whatever mess you've made of your life, He will never, never ignore a cry for mercy. He'll stop. And He says there, bring him to me. Commanded them that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him. He says, what do you want me to do for you? You think, that's strange, isn't it? He can see the man's blind. Why is he asking him that? He's blind. He needs to see. The people around him told him, Jesus, why are you asking him such a question, such a dumb question? He's blind. He wants to see. But Jesus wanted it from his mouth. What do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, I want to see. I want to regain my sight. And I don't know, maybe he's asked some of you, and he asks you this evening, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Lord, give me a job, give me more money. So many things you can think of. But you know what you need. Zacchaeus chose the right thing. Not money, not success. He chose salvation. And I pray that some of you who've never had a personal encounter with Christ, and some of you who need a restored relationship with Christ, will hear God say to you this evening through the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do for you? And if you say, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. I want the scales to drop from my eyes. Some of you perhaps began well, like the Galatians. I know many brothers in CFC through the 37 years who began so well. I sometimes would like to weep, but I think that they could have... I was saying the other day that Newton myself could have pulled back. Brothers who could have counted for God, who could have been a blessing and a help in CFC, but for some reason have missed it because they didn't stop, they didn't listen, they didn't look. They chose something else, and I hope that none of you, it'll happen to any of you. And if you're living a mediocre kind of life, I want to say to you, to those of you who have a personal relationship with Christ, but it's not, you know, it's not like it should be. It's lukewarm. Like Jesus said to the leader, maybe you have done well for yourself. Like he had done well, he said, I have need of nothing. That letter that Jesus wrote to the church and the leader of Laodicea, I have need of nothing. Jesus said, you don't know that you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. Buy from me. You need to see. Eye salve that will anoint your eyes and make you see. And maybe that's what he says to some of us this evening. You need to see. You've let other things blind you. You come back not just to a restored relationship, but you come back that, Lord, I'm going to count for you. I'm going to give my life to you, Lord. I want my life on this earth to count for you. I never want to miss your plan for my life. The fields are white already unto harvest, Jesus said, but the laborers are few. And I want to say to you, dear young people, those of you who know the Lord, there are many in CFC who need help. Sadly, there are many elder brothers who drive away these ones who need help. Oh, for those who have a encounter with Christ, who have the heart of God like this father, who have wide open arms, and no matter how badly someone has messed up, how many times they messed up, how many, or whatever their failures are, that, yeah, they can see it. We are there. We are there to welcome them. I want to belong to this church, because there are people who love me. There are people who are there who help me, not who keep preaching at me. And all that we can give ourselves, I want to say to all of you who know the Lord, that you would stop this evening. We will look and listen. I believe God says to all of us, what do you want me to do for you? And to those of you Those of you young men who've never had this personal relationship, you've heard this many times. You've been forced to come to church, forced to come to meetings, forced to come to camp. Some of you are being forced to get baptized. Forget it. Don't get upset with your parents. Don't get upset with those who say all these things to you. I want you to come to Jesus. I want you to see that He's looking for you. He looked up for Zacchaeus. The father was there waiting for the son every day. It was not just one day by coincidence. I believe every day he looked. And as his sight was failing, he looked and looked, and then he could see this one day, this straggler. He said, "Looks like my son, the way he walks." And he ran towards him. And that's changed the whole direction of that boy's life. I'd like to know how it went with him after that. And I'm sure that his father was glad that he received him back. So he went home. Before we, I'm going to ask Keith and Suresh to sing that song again. Not to emotionally move you. I don't believe in emotionally moving people. But I do believe that there comes a time when we make a definite commitment and dedication and surrender of our lives. All of us, you and me. That this camp would not just be a camp, we had a theme. We had a wonderful time. But this camp would be a turning point. I really pray that for all of you. I've been thinking of some of you by name and praying for you. Some of you young men, that you would turn to God. That you would come to that place. Come to yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't compete with your friends. Don't give in to peer pressure. Say, "Lord, I want to fit into your plan for my life." And the Lord asks you this evening, "What do you want me to do for you?" And you tell Him, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see some of these things that Brother Ian talks about. A lot of it I don't really understand. But Lord, I want to see." And I guarantee you, you'll begin seeing from this evening. Shall we close our eyes? Bow our heads. God has spoken to us in this camp. Spoke powerfully to us yesterday. And today again. And I want you to see that Jesus comes looking for you. He's not passing through this camp, He's been here. He's been here, and He's been here just because of you. So He wants to come into your life. He wants to, like He said to Zacchaeus, "I want to come to your house today." He says to you, "I want to come into your life. Will you open the door? Don't worry about cleaning up. I'll take care of it all. Just open the door. That's all you have to do. Don't try to put things in order." Don't make up your mind to say, "No, I'll got to put some things straight." He says, "Just open the door. Let me come in." I tell you, in Jesus' name, salvation will come this very day into your life. Change the whole direction of your life, that you'll be so thankful, not just for this camp, but you're thankful that Jesus met you here. And to all of us, and to you, like He said, to blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I want you to make an act of surrender. Those of you who never had a personal relationship, listen carefully. Those of you who are not going to ask you to stand, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do any of these things. I'm just going to ask you to do something very simple. And I'm speaking first to those who have not had a personal encounter with Jesus. You've heard these things again and again. Jesus is passing by your life now once more. And will you let him into your life? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I've tried and tried, but I've failed. I'm all messed up. I'm all confused. But like you asked me, I open the door of my life, Lord. Come into my life. I repent of my sins. I know you love me. I know you care for me. And if there's one thing I'm asking you this evening to do for me, Lord, I want to see. Open my eyes. I want to see all things clearly. I want to say to the rest of us, those perhaps who are backslidden, are not living like you should be living. Just don't look for a restored relationship. You say, Lord, I just want to move higher. I want to see, Lord, I don't want to see men as trees walking. I want to be sensitive to all the ones around me. I don't want to see them as trees, easily chop them down. I want to be sensitive to them. I want to have the Father's heart. I want to run and embrace and have compassion on such, Lord. Please make me what you want me to be, that I can bless others. That you can also say, Lord, I want to see. I want to see all things clearly. And in your own heart, I'm going to ask all of you to just make a surrender to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. You came all the way for me. You ran from heaven to me. What more can I give to you except this one miserable life, Lord? Life that you paid a price for on the cross of Calvary. The life that you shed your blood for to redeem me from all my sins. Lord, I give this life back to you. I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Lord. God sees your heart, my dear young person, my dear young brother, my dear young sister. God sees your heart. He hears the faintest cry. You just have to whisper to him. Even a sigh will not go past unnoticed and say, Lord, here am I. Send me, use me, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to thank you for this time, for this camp, for blessing us so immensely, speaking to our hearts. We pray, dear Lord, that we would really stop and we would look, Lord, look at eternity, not at the things of this world. And we listen to what your Spirit is saying today to us. Help us not to go past and ignore your call. We ask in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.